children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Come, my children, time to awake from your sleep. Rise to a new day with each your soul to keep. Do 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 do.
Welcome to the Enlightened Medicine Show with Dr. Valerie Olmsted, the holographic physician. Our show is brought to you by starlights.com. That's starlights.com, where they have lots of New Age things, CDs, DVDs, books, incense, candles, pretty paintings, all kinds of things. And also by alternativecancer.us. where they have over 1,000 pages of how to deal with cancer from the alternative method, including some cancer treatment testing kits that you can get. Be aware, though, that the kits require two people because it is applied kinesiology, otherwise known as muscle testing. So if you're familiar with that and you can test by yourself, then it doesn't require two. But if you're not familiar with it, you need two people to do that testing to find out what treatment might work best for you. And there's lots of information on the alternativecancer.us site, all kinds of things for, you know, support, depending on whether you or a loved one has some type of cancer or is worried about getting it or knows someone else. So please do check that out. There's a wealth of information there that can help take the panic out of it. Okay, and before we get started, let me first mention that I am on the road, so I have no computer access and no fast chat, so forgive me, that's going to go on for a few weeks because I'm doing something really fascinating and learning some new stuff, and it's just kind of a little inconvenient as far as, you know, keeping up with computer stuff. But tonight, I think you are going to be really excited because my guest is Jocelyn Kessler, who is an animal communicator and has written a lovely book about what your dog is trying to tell you. And I got to say, she's the real deal, okay? She helped me with a problem that I was having, and we'll talk about that in a little bit. So welcome to the show, Jocelyn.
Thank you, Dr. Valerie. It's wonderful to be here.
Well, it's so wonderful to have you on. We have a lot of listeners that are just really such animal lovers. It just busts everybody up when we lose our best little furry friends, you know. And so I'm sure there's quite a few people that are going to be quite grateful that you're on the show. And I'm very happy that you're going to impart some of your wisdom to us tonight. So first off, why don't you start with a little bio? Tell us about yourself and about your books and, you know, things like that.
Well, I live in Los Angeles currently, and I am from New York, and Long Island, actually Old Brookville, New York. I was born and raised there, and raised with a lot of great Pyrenees. I think we had about 7 or 8 great Pyrenees, and I'm an only child, so a lot of my time, parents were working a lot, so a lot of my time was spent alone with the dogs. So I learned to walk by, you know, holding on to the fur of the alpha male dog named Morgan. I learned, you know, the beginning stages of, you know, the communication energetically between myself and dogs with those animals. And it was wonderful. I love it. I miss Great Pyrenees. My father still has them, and I wish I could have them again. And then from there on, I started, as I got older, I really started to do this as a side job. So people would ask me to come and work with their animals, whether it was their dogs or their cats or even, you know, animals that were on a farm. And when there was a balance, something was off balance, or they really couldn't quite understand what was going on between the communication of them with their animals. And eventually, as time went on, when I started to really hone what I do and understand why this is and how this all works and whatnot. That was when I was able to expand out and make it to be my full time. I was working with animals and clients, and that was what I was doing. But it took a really long time, even through school and through college, and it took a long time for me to really want to grasp this. I didn't really understand it myself for a very long time. It's a journey, which, you know, a long, long, long journey to this point. I'm now here. I live in Los Angeles with my dog, Emma, who's a three-year-old. I say she looks like a Portuguese water dog pressed into a pint-sized dog. She's her own little breed. I've made a new breed for this dog. She's a love. So that's what I'm doing. I travel to New York periodically, not as much as I used to work with clients. I'm more out in Los Angeles. And that's that. And bring up to this point.
I don't know if you remember this. You were talking to a lot of people on that show that I called into. But I don't know if you remember, but I had a dog named Fred. And he was part Great Pyrenees, Yellow Lab, and Golden yes. Retriever. And yes. that dog stood at 2 months old. He was about 2.5 feet tall. On uh-huh. all fours. He was a big dog, and he was so funny. I really am more of a cat person than a dog person just because of schedule and, you know, not having the time to take a dog for a walk, basically. And it was just funny taking this dog for a walk because I had a couple cats, and the roommate had a couple dogs, and so, you know, we would just round everybody up and go for a walk, and we'd be walking down the street, and people would come by, and they'd laugh when they saw this dog. He was a beautiful dog. He had little cinnamon speckles all over his beautiful kind of blondish coat, and they'd say, "What's that dog's name?" And I'd say, "Guess." And they'd say, "Fred." And I'd go, "Yep, you got it."
He just looked like a Fred. And right out of the gate.
Yeah, it was so yeah. funny. Nobody ever guessed wrong. It was hysterical. And, I mean, he was a fabulous dog, and unfortunately someone stole him right off of my balcony one night. So I didn't get to see him really grown up, but I saw his brothers grown up, and they were just gorgeous dogs.
Yeah, beautiful. And, you know, it's funny. I love a big dog. Emma is a little dog. And obviously I just said that, but I love a big dog because I was raised with them, and I most recently just had a dog here that I was babysitting who's like a Dane Lab mix, and she was beautiful, and she's a big dog, and I haven't had a big dog in my apartment for a long period of time in a while, and Emma, it was like literally two very distinct sizes between the two. It was very, very funny, but so beautiful to watch because it doesn't change by the size. And they really were learning from one another, and I was learning in the process as well of how they balanced each other and where they just became one, where there was not so many insecurities as there were at first. They kind of just diminished, and we really worked on holding our space and boundaries together, me as well. And by the end of the trip, it was just amazing to see these two dogs and myself all living together in the smaller apartment.
Yeah, it's kind of interesting how they adjust. And I mean, you know, having had cats most of my life, I can tell you it's really not fun the first 2 weeks when you introduce new cats. There's a lot of caterwauling and, you know, I'm going to get you type of stuff going on. And my last cat, I had asked you what was going on with my snooze alarm cat.
And, exactly. I love that.
Oh, man. Well, I'll tell you what, you know, you were right on. And so the next day I did my grounding and connection and protection. And I said, wow, I used to do that all the time. How did I forget? And so I found that, you know, I picked her up and I held her in my arms while I did it, and she purred and purred and purred, and then I laid down on the couch, and she still kept looking around me. She was seeing something, and considering she was blind, I thought that was kind of interesting. But it was like she was talking to something that was jumping around me and going, no, 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 no. And I thought, okay, that's interesting. And so each time I had to pick her up And then she would, you know, make sure that I did the grounding and connection and protection, and then she'd purr, and then she'd, after a little while, she'd get off of me and lay down next to me. So I thought, okay, that's fine. It did not stop the caterwauling, however. It stopped the snooze alarm, but she was still hollering and screaming a lot. And finally I said, look, I have to go on the road for a while, and you're going to be very lonely, and I have people coming in to take care of you, and if you want to hang around till I get back, that's fine. But it's going to seem like a really long time, and I don't want your little heart to break, and, you know, you're old. So, you know, as much as I loved her, I was like, oh, man, I was so worried about her. And, you know, as soon as I said, okay, you did what you said you were going to do. And, mm-hmm. you know, the phrase that you used was that she had one more thing she had to do for me. Well, a friend mm-hmm. of mine who has been doing some animal communicating for a couple of years, she had told me several months ago, she has one more thing to do for you, but she didn't know what it was. So, so when you said it, I was like, oh, that's what it is. Thank you. And so as soon as I told her, look, it's your choice. Either wait for me and, you know, I'll be back. I promise I'll be back, but it's going to seem like a long time and you're going to be completely by yourself except for food and water. And, you know, people come in, sling some food and water at you and go, but everybody's busy. So she kind of, you know, thought about that for a while. And a couple days before I left on my trip, she deteriorated so rapidly, I was shocked. And I was like, wow. So I, you know, took her on that last trip to the vet, sobbed my eyes out. And, you know, she's my last kitty. And I told her, you're the last one. You know, you did what you were supposed to do. And, boy, it's hard letting go of those little suckers, you know? They're just so special.
I mean, absolutely. I'm so sorry. I feel that. It's a very difficult process. Probably on a few levels. I think on the level that we would automatically would assume that's difficult of a loss of an animal that we love and a companion that we love, that we've worked with and had intimate moments with that we haven't shared anywhere else. That's mm-hmm. a loss. There's also a loss that many work with, and I've seen a lot, that it's the loss of, well, did I not do enough? Did I not connect enough? Was I not present enough? Was, you know, I didn't realize the life was so short. Did I get everything I needed? Did I give enough? Could I have done? And that's really no different when we lose anyone. But I really see that with those who lose their animals, dogs or cats or any animal that you love. And I'm going to use dog in this example of that because I just worked with someone who had the same issue. They were very present and loved their animal very, very much, but they were harping, and it was like a beating up on oneself of saying, now that I know how much they were in the moment, I see how much I was not. Did I not use this time wisely to connect? And that all of that is really needs to be abolished because the animal does not view it like that at all. Everything that needed to be done was done. And in the case for you, which was so beautiful, you know, you just knew. And she's quite the alarm. And once you start losing various senses, sight, hearing, all of that, it's amazing, specifically with cats, how other frequencies open.
Oh, yeah.
So what it all of a sudden just, and she was already in prep for that. She was speaking to spirit. She was speaking mm-hmm. to you. And you were going away on this trip for a while, and you were going to be kind of journeying on a very different path, something that you're excited about doing, something very different to do, and you still need to maintain that same grounding, that same connection to yourself that she was so alarming about before. And it was like a triple alarm, you know, like, please, come on, we're growing low on time here. Please listen.
And I was trying to, and I kept going, what do you want? I don't get it, you know. So when I called and talked to you, I was, like, so desperate because I was going, I know she's trying to tell me something, But it's like she did not get through to me as well as the previous cat did. He was very sentient, and, you know, he could tell me what he wanted pretty easily. And with her, it was different, you know, and we weren't quite as close until the last several months before she died, just because she was so standoffish when I had the other cat, you know, and I had to put him down last year. And, boy, that was horrendous. And that's when I discovered she was blind. And I thought, oh, my God, you know, he was her eyes and her ears, apparently, because, you know, she was losing her senses so rapidly. And I was like, what do you want to hang around here for, you know? I mean, you can't see.
Right.
You can't hardly hear or smell. And I thought, geez, you know, don't make me watch you suffer. I just can't go through that again. And
right.
I'll tell you, once she got it that I was okay and I was in the groove and I was doing all this stuff, it was like, okay, you know, I got up one morning and couldn't find her and went, uh-oh. And the next morning it was even worse, and I went, oh, boy. And then that morning she just went downhill so rapidly. I was like, okay, that's it, and, you know, took her in. But, you know, and what's really funny to me, well, not funny, but strange, is that my other cats usually appeared to me after they passed on.
Uh-huh.
And her, I didn't see. I kind of felt like she came back, but it wasn't such a strong connection as it was with the previous one or the one before that or, you know, several others. So I thought, okay, that's kind of interesting. And maybe, you know, maybe she hasn't figured out how to do that yet. But I don't know. That was kind of weird.
I don't think she's going to come back so fast. I think you have a little time before you see her. And I believe that she'll come to you in dream. I think that you may have about a week or so in time.
Thank you. Yeah, I would love to see her. I kept saying, aren't you going to come back and let me know that you're happy?
Yeah. I think she's going to let you know in a couple of ways. I think it's going to be surprising to you. I don't think it's going to be in exactly that way. I think that you are processing something yourself personally that she is very connected to. And it's interesting when people say they don't really connect right away to an animal and that it takes time and it's not like the prior. We've all experienced it. I experienced it myself with Emma. I did not connect right off the bat. When I lost my two basset hounds, it took me a long time to learn to reconnect. So it's not abnormal. But when that happens, it's usually because both involved, yourself as well as the animal, are trying to get their own journey straight, and you need to see why is one, you know, why is the cat in your life and why are you in their life? And you're both figuring it out. And then all of a sudden, you know, it's destined that you're in your life, but then certain little issues within yourself and within the animal start coming about that make it very readily available to you to know why you're in each other's lives. And usually when you don't connect so fast, it's usually on a heart center level, and it's usually something that we're holding that's very personal. Usually comes from childhood, and there's an energy within the animal or human, it's all the same with this, is that there's an energy though in the animal that forces on a sub-level for us to feel a little uncomfortable, like, you know what, I don't know how to connect with that. I don't know what that's about, okay?
Well,
I don't know.
Princess,
I'm not up on...
You know.
Right, she was. So there's certain things that you don't, and then she wants to live, she has a certain way of living. There's a certain, she needs to give that to you that you were missing. Perhaps you weren't ready to receive it so much, and perhaps she wasn't ready to really allow you to receive, and then all of a sudden you're at a halt, and then you have to go past it. And it's a real, this is all about relationships. I think when people ask me, well, what is this, using a very common description, it is, this is about relationship, energy and relationship. And where is each standing in that? And you have to build that, and I think that it does come at a deeper level, and it's more than just loving your dog or your cat and seeing them in this wonderful light that they're, you know, you love to spend time with them and you love them in your lives. I just think we need to start looking a little bit farther past that and start dealing with them as a relationship. I rarely ever hear anyone describe their relationship with their dog or their cat as a relationship. They don't.
They don't understand that these animals that choose to spend time with us, they pick us out and they have a mission. And like I was quite aware that my cats had a mission with me. And they would talk to me about it every once in a while. And, you know, some it was pictures, others I actually heard words. And I don't consider myself to be an animal communicator, but if I can manage to stop worrying about what's going on around me for a while, then, you know, I can be receptive. And so I've had that privilege of knowing that my animals had a mission. And, you know, I used to go around the country and do this quantum vortex stuff for 2 years I was on the road. And left my cats with my friend who can speak with them. And she said it was the funniest thing because they demanded to see the bedroom that I normally stayed in. She opened the door and let them in, and they ran around and went, "She's not here, she's not here, she's not here." And, you know, they looked under the desk and under the bed and in the closet and behind this and, you know, in the bookcase. And I said, as if I would fit in any of those places. You know?
Well, that's quite a compliment. Frankly,
they were thinking I was one of them, I guess. And she said it was so funny to watch them because she kept hearing them say, "She's not here, she's not here." And they ran all over the place, and then they met in the middle of the room, and they looked at each other and said, "She's not here." And then they both looked at her in unison and said, "Where is she?" And she said, "Well, she's in Florida. Do you know where Florida is?" And so she would have to call me up, you know, every month, at least once a month, she had to call me up and let the cats hear that I was still alive and I was traveling and I missed them and all that kind of stuff. So, you know, I have had those kind of relationships with my animals where I talk to them like they're other beings, because they are. And some of them are so wise. And, I mean, like my other cat, he was just extremely wise and very street smart, and my cat that just passed, I used to call her the dumb blonde of the cat sect, you know, because she had little crossed eyes. They were both Siamese, but she had her little crossed eyes, and she was very much the princess, and it wasn't until after he left that she started to allow me to see that wisdom part of her. So it was quite interesting to see that.
Yeah,
I wanted to ask you, too. There's a lot of people lately that have lost their animals, you know, rather suddenly, and a lot of people out there grieving the loss of their animals, and I'm just wondering if it has to do with kind of the transition that humanity is going through. You know, it's like, okay, you know, we got to stop what we're doing here and get prepared for this next leap or something, because it's like numbers that I've never seen before. Animals are just like dropping all over the place. You think there's anything to that?
God, I think that's a great, great question. It's a great question, and absolutely. I have said that we are in very different times right now. And, you know, general society, we're not loving, we don't love change. You know, most people can go through it easier than others, but on a whole, we have a very hard time with it. And our energy right now is changing very quickly. Energy out there is moving very, very fast. I call it the changing of the guard. A lot of old and stagnant energy in every sector of the planet, of what anyone's doing in any capacity, is changing. And as this energy moves quicker, and we have to solve things faster, and we have to keep up, we're in a digital era as well that moves very quickly, all of that vibrates out into our universe, into our planet. It vibrates out. And that's kind of, it gets very staticky, and it moves very, very quick. And even if you're sitting in quiet meditation, it doesn't mean that everything's not moving very rapidly. Well, with that grows insecurity. And when we can't solve our own issues or what we feel is holding us back, or why do I keep doing this all the time? I just can't seem to, or this, 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 and we push it aside into what I call closet space, we so effortlessly do that. We'll store everything and we'll get to it when we get to it. Okay, well, I'm present now. No, you're not. But there's way too much stored. So then we keep moving in it, and our animals who live in the moment, and our planet, our trees, our earth, everything around us, our weather, everything is affected about how much we vibrate out and how much of that is static moving quickly. That causes bacteria. That can cause disease. And all animals that live in the moment all of a sudden can't find it at all. It's moving so fast, and we don't bring it back to the moment, and we're moving in it, and then we say, well, I don't understand why I don't understand myself, and I don't understand why my dog or my cat and I can't do this together, and this is just not working, and I don't. And when you bring it back home to them to say, it comes from you, and it is all an energetic source, and that's all we can focus on ourselves, and that radiates out, and that changes what we're giving to them in a universe, on a planet right now. It's very hard to shield them. We got to do the best we can. So we are the source. So if we can change that, absolutely, it changes a lot of things. Then we're not so insecure about how we love. That's the thing.
Yeah, our animals. That reminds me of something too. I'm very fascinated with biogeometry, and one of the things they talk about in that is that cats love what is toxic to us. They can handle being on those spots of negative energy. They can take either negative or positive, and they just like energy, so they don't care which way it is. And I'm reminded of when I was pretty sick a couple years ago, my cats kept talking about how they were having to transmute the negative energy for me. And now that I know more about biogeometry, I'm going, I'm betting that I have all these huge negative landmines and things running right through my place that I just happen to be sitting in because that's where the cats like to sit. So I'd go plunk myself down next to them and go through all this stuff. And I've seen that cats seem to be more resilient to what's going on than the dogs do. And I've often wondered about that energy because dogs tend to gravitate more towards the positive energies. And I'm thinking that, you know, with all of the angst and the fears and everything that humanity's going through, you know, the animals are doing the best they can to help us, and it's just wearing them out. You know, it's just fast. Although, you know, my cat was 22, so she was not exactly, you know,
worn out.
Chicken. Yeah, but she didn't look like she was that old. She looked like she was about four, except for the cataracts. And so, you know, I look at that, I see people's animals, and I think, dang, you know, they're not that old, but they look old. And I'm thinking it's got to be this energy that's going on.
Absolutely. They are worn out. You know, they are worn out. They're not all worn out, but, you know, animals, our dog, you know, this, in the sense of cats, here's the deal, is that it's the truth that cats are the, you know, least domesticated. And even though they're so domesticated, everyone has a cat, they are still, you know, least domesticated. The dog is very domesticated. And over time, the difference is that cats don't step in the moment the same as the dog. Cats decipher the energy a little bit differently. They don't just take it all right on. Cats are a little skeptical even of energy or what's being delivered from individuals around them or the land. They don't let it all soak up so fast. Dogs are quite different. They are very much in the moment. They also feel energetically that because we are all moving so fast and what's going on out there, they're not as much in the moment. The whole primal aspect is nearly out the window at this point, and the dog's energy and the dog of the mind must keep up with human being at this point. It's almost like gut instinct. They have to take on more human characteristics. We pass it that way. We want them to. But again, it's exactly what you said earlier. In essence, it comes from society and how they are feeling about themselves. I think that I can't stress that enough, that that energy of an insecurity with oneself radiating out, and then a lot of people having that, not solid in where they stand in their space on their journey, and all that fear on how everything is moving so quickly and what will we do and how everything shifts, all of that, when we get fearful of it, goes right to the dog, goes right to the cat. Now, cats can buy a little bit more time, but dogs are pure moment, light, love. That is their number one intention. It's not always the number one intention for cat, as much as I love them and have had them my whole life.
True.
It is dogs.
So they're more independent.
Because of that. Right. But dogs show a sense of vulnerability that's beautiful, that in where we are now, most people have a really hard time understanding. They love to connect to it, but they don't understand that that same vulnerability that just love me is taking on everything else you're holding. That same energy that gets you insecure about yourself and to know if you're loving yourself enough, loving your animal enough, loving who you're with enough, loving your planet enough, not knowing what's coming or going, that's that kind of energy. You can see it in people's eyes. When you come home and love your animal, it's beautiful. It centers you. You can get quiet. But at this point and in this state of the game, we must be very aware and very cognizant of our own personal energetic space and what we are bringing into our home to our animals. They can't seem to afford much else anymore. I mean, sometimes I visit with dogs that are so far gone with my energy, you know.
Yeah, I've seen over the last couple of years that people have lost their beloved dog companions because the dog has taken a hit of anger that was directed at them, and the next thing you know, the dog's dead, and, you know, they're maybe only a couple years old, and my impression with each one has been, that's because that guy was going to beat you up, you know, and that anger was directed at the person, but the dog kind of stepped in the way and took the hit. It's just, I mean, and they die instantly. It's like, boom, you know, like just like they've got taken a shot to the heart. And I can't help but think that that's exactly what happened.
I don't think we realize, again, how strong we radiate. And that's because we have to know oneself to know what you radiate, and we're all in the constant journey of knowing that. I'm forever on it. Every time I think I know I have, but I'm also forever processing. I will not allow certain energy.
We have a caller for you.
Oh,
welcome, caller.
Hi, Dr. Valerie. This is Carla.
Hey, Carla. Oh, I'm so sorry for your loss, honey.
Oh, thank you. You know my babies.
Yeah. Go ahead. You have a question for Jocelyn?
Yeah, I do. I was wondering, I just lost High Top. Dr. Valerie knows my pack, and now they're all gone. My question is I'm wondering if, I guess part of me is, wondering if he didn't think I didn't love him enough. I got a new bed about 4 weeks ago, and normally, the dogs would sleep with us. And because of his age and everything, he was making a lot of messes, and it was ruining our beds.
Yeah.
So I ended up putting him on the couch with a blanket with my other, I have two other dogs too, and I was wondering if he thought that I didn't want him anymore because they, you know, they really liked sleeping with us, and we've had we've been redoing a house, and it's been hard for, like with Jesse, it was hard for him, and I just lost him recently because he was an older dog. And then High Top, you know, it was hard for the older guys. And I'm just wondering if he thought that I was didn't want him anymore. And I was just wondering if, I guess I wanted to know how he really felt, because like with Jesse and High Top, I didn't go, I wasn't there when they were put down, because I'm not able to handle that anymore. I've had quite a few losses.
Yeah.
It's too hard for me to be there.
No. And first of all, Carla, I have to tell you, first of all, I'm so sorry for your loss. I get it. You know, it's hard. It's hard. It's exceptionally hard. And it's okay for you to feel that. And it, you know what? It's important for you to feel it. But my guess here is this, and I'm going to answer your question in two, because I think this is important for you to release. I think it also bothers you a bit that you weren't there to let them go, because it's hard, and that you weren't present, and perhaps you weren't available enough or present enough to be present for that, if that makes sense. And I think that we need to put that right out the window. they are well aware of who you are and what you, what and where you come from, and your heart center and your love for them. And being present there in the passing, some people can, some people cannot. I do it as part of, I've done it, and you know what? It's hard. But that you need to know that moving an animal or a dog who's older, and I've been there as well, and moving their location when, you know, things start shutting down, that's what happens. The body starts shutting down. It's hard to get up and go to the bathroom. It's hard to move. They are very much in tune with you. He was very much in tune with you. So when you do that, and you move and you put him on the sofa, and then he likes, it's just part of the process. And by that time, you need to know that when they're ready to go, the beauty about dog and guides that guide a dog, that they're already in prep in their mind to know that that is happening. So all the residual around it about how that process unfolds is not important to them anymore. The love that they're feeling before that, and that who you were, and the connection, and the journey, all of that is very real. It's very, very solid, and that's all they know, and that's what allows them to guide into the other side. So there's no resentment towards you. There is no holding. It is all pure, pure, pure. I feel nothing negative on this. It was all love, and appreciated you in all love, and still appreciating you in all love. And it's probably still, have you gotten a visit in a spiritual form, Carla?
I don't think so. The only thing I think I might have noticed, and I don't know if it was just the smells of the house, is I just lost them Tuesday, and a couple hours after he got his wings, I kind of felt like I could smell them, but I don't know if that was stuff from the house or if it was him letting me know he was nearby.
It was him. You smelled him. That's why I wanted, that's why I asked, because I think that it's important. We so often second guess ourselves with that, because we don't want to know that we can say, well, I think I smelled him, or I think that it was, it is these, it is exactly that. That is when your intuition, your connection, all of your own senses, all of your own frequencies after a passing, of an animal that you are so very connected to, that is when you should trust your instincts 100%. Because I feel him all through the house. All through the house.
Through my house?
So, yes. I mean, I feel the energy. I feel the visit coming in all through the day. I don't feel that it's been a final transfer, and I believe that the soul of this dog will come back to you in a different form.
That would be cool.
And I think that you'll know. And I think that did you say you have cats?
No. I'm a dog person.
Have you ever had cats?
I've had. I'm allergic to cats. I had cats as a kid. We had cats. We had cats and dogs when we were kids. But as I became an adult, now I just had. I've just had dogs. In fact, I've had 8 dogs, and Dr. Valerie met 4 of them. My Nikki.
You know, it was funny when I first met Carla and Mike, and went over to their house. I was sitting down. Carla was out shopping, and I was talking with her husband. And I'm sitting there, and all of a sudden, I felt a nose go into my pocket, a little wet doggy nose. And I got the name of one of their dogs that had passed, and I was kind of like, okay, do I tell these people this, or are they going to think I'm totally crazy? And it turns out that they had that dog, and the dog used to put the nose into the pocket for treats. I was like, wow, wasn't expecting that.
Yeah, exactly. I'm going to really hold true, though. I feel the soul of this dog coming back, and I keep hearing cat. I know you're allergic. That's fine. This soul is coming back in an animal form, and it's coming back to you. Will come back to you. And I'm getting an animal form and in a form that you didn't expect. So, gosh, that's interesting. But the spirit presence you definitely have. It's still in the house, and I think that it's important for you to know that it's all okay and that nothing went wrong here. That's the beauty of all this. When you have that much love and that much connection, nothing went wrong. Everything was right. Everything went as it should have went. It was all the moment. It's all pre-planned. This is it. And the beauty is the dog knew it way in advance. So then we hold and we attach and think emotions that we think we should have, or why didn't we do? It's none of that. It's none of that. It's a complete clear light. You're complete. All love, really. You need to completely let that go.
Okay. And then I guess what bothers me, too, is we lost Jesse, which Dr. Valerie knows Jess. I lost him Thanksgiving weekend, but like with him, he was my dog, and I went to the vet with him, and I said goodbye in the room, but I can't watch these guys go from breathing to nothing now. I've had so many deaths in the last 4 years, I can't handle it anymore, and I mean, I've been... people dying, animals dying. I can't do that anymore. And so with Jesse, I didn't want to see him dead, just like with High Top. So I was wondering if he was mad at me, because he was coming back and seeing Mike, visiting Mike, but I haven't seen him. And I was wondering if he was mad at me, because he was my dog.
For sure not mad. Dogs, when they cross over, they don't hold emotion like that. They never do. When they cross over to the other side, like I said, it's all clear. They don't travel with anything attached in that capacity. That would be, sometimes, and that's a very human emotion to cross over with. They don't tend to cross over like that. They cross over very cleanly. And I believe, though, that in this case, because of so many losses, that really what this is about, of all these losses for you, which are so tough, and again, I'm so sorry, you really need to focus instead of perhaps individually for each loss as much as your heart center, because somewhere along the way, on each time that each animal passes, we always give a little bit of ourselves to each animal when they pass, always. The lesson a lot that dogs want to give to us is to not give any piece of yourself when they pass, to give just a clear, energetic, I love you, I will continue to love you, and move. That's really what they need. And so for you, I think it's important to know that whether it was human passing, animal passing, for your own personal journey, to really get quiet and focus on your heart and just ask to be released, because you are carrying a lot of each passing, whether human or animal. You've carried that so much, to the point that it's not just taking a piece, it's taking a chunk every time, and it's hard for you to bring it back. I ask you to just focus on that and ask for healing, and then I think you'd be surprised on how many visits you can actually see. You need to be free with that for you to see them. And they're coming to you, and they love you. It's okay now to let that go. It's okay. It is completely okay.
Thanks for calling, Carla. I hope that helps.
Yeah, it does. I appreciate that. And I'm sure I know you guys got to get going, and I've taken up a lot of time. So I appreciate you taking the time with me.
Absolutely. I appreciate you giving time. Take care, Carla, really.
Thanks a lot, Dr. V.
You're welcome.
Bye-bye.
You know, yeah, we don't have a whole lot of time left. We've got about 4 minutes. So, Jocelyn, if you would give us a few details about your book and where people can get it, and your website, you know, contact information if they want to schedule an appointment with you in the L.A. area or New York.
Absolutely.
Go ahead and get that now.
It's The Secret Language of Dogs is the book, and you can get that on Amazon.com. It's also at Barnes & Noble and through my publisher, Hampton Road. My website is JocelynKessler.com. I'm on Facebook and Twitter as well. Actually, JocelynKesslerLLC.com. Am I saying this right? Yes. And we're on Twitter. It's been a long day. But we're on Twitter and Facebook, and we are also on Instagram. And you can get the book also in any freestanding Barnes & Noble across the country.
Awesome. Thank you so much for being on. This is a topic that people just love, because we love our pets. And
absolutely.
Yeah, and I know it's been hard for an awful lot of people. I've heard from so many people who've said, oh, my gosh, you know, my pet that I've had, you know, most of my life just passed, and what am I going to do? And, you know, it's like, wow, but I see that it has to happen, because we have to be detached so that we can make this next transition. And the pets, they don't worry about it. They're smarter than us about this kind of stuff. I know that. You know, to them, it's no big deal. And they're going to be going on to their own next evolution. So, you know, some will stay dogs and cats, and some will become something else. And, you know, I look at all that, and I say, boy, if we could just be easy about it. You know, it's like they are. They're like, hey, no problem, no big deal.
Absolutely.
And we're like, oh, boo-hoo-hoo, you know.
Yeah, well, we're going to have to learn it eventually. We'll kick and scream, but it's important for us to move forward. Absolutely.
Yeah.
And I appreciate you having me, Dr. Valerie. Absolutely.
Oh, I'd love to have you on again. This is something that people are going to want to talk about more. And, you know, as we come out of the summer and more people are listening live again, that'll be a good time to bring you back on if you've got some time. And,
yes, please. Yeah. I would love it. Absolutely,
yeah,
love it.
I would too. I mean, I just feel for everyone that's going through such difficult times with their pets, and I have to thank you too, because you helped me so much with my own cat. She was just driving me crazy, And I thought, okay, I'm being too dense here. I can't get what she's trying to tell me. I need help.
and so you did, and now you got it.
Yeah. Yeah, it's been my pleasure.
Yeah,
it's been interesting. So
it's always interesting.
Yeah.
Well, enjoy your travels.
Yeah. Yeah, the travel was one of those things where, you know, I could never leave without worrying about my cats. And now I'm like, well, I don't really have to go back because, you know, I've got plants, but somebody's watching the plants, so.
Right.
It's like not quite the same thing as an animal. So anyway, thank you so much for being on.
Thank you.
Let's connect again like September or so if you've got some time. And when I get back into town, I'll send you an email about that. And thank you so much for being on. And listeners, we have been talking with Jocelyn Kessler, and you can get her new book, The Secret Language of Dogs, and check out her website, jocelynkesslerllc.com, right?
It's jocelynkessler.com. I was looking at LLC.
Okay.
So you have to, I'm not 100% digitally savvy. We have to forgive me this evening.
Okay, it's late for me, too. Okay, so anyway, and I've got your information on the show info, too, so, you know, they can always click on to stuff there and get to you. So thank you so much for being on. Thank you, listeners, for tuning in.
Thank you so much.
You're so welcome. And listeners, if you've got pets and you've been going through the difficulty of letting them go or wondering what in the heck are they trying to tell you, you need to check out Jocelyn because she helped me a lot. So please do, you know, check out the website, check out the book, and God bless us all because we love our pets. So until next week, be happy, be healthy, be who you really are. Nighty-night.